White Rock and Entertainment, podcast number 795. And then it was over. The AU Wishbone is next.
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
From the Black Curtain Drape Studios of White Rocket in Southern Illinois and Eastern Virginia, it's the AU Wishbone Podcast. And John, this is a show I didn't want to have to do, but here we are.
Me neither.
How are you tonight? It's been a couple of days.
It's been a couple of days, but like you, I've been kind of not looking forward to recording this podcast.
I am your host, Van Allen Plexico. I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, my strategy, we've talked many times before, and I think others, is put it behind you immediately, move on, focus on other things. Don't let a sporting event ruin your happiness and your life for days and days on end. And that's worked out pretty well for me the last few days, except that we still have to convene to talk about it. So you and I and the three people downloading this week's episode will have a nice conversation now, because I have no doubt that this will get the lowest ratings of our show in a while.
Well, let me say this. I think there are some fans who are like still dealing with it, still processing, who probably need this to help them get through it. And then there are some who are like, I don't want to hear another thing about it or listen to a thing about it. I want to move on.
Right. No, I think so. I think this is where we'll help those that want help. We'll talk about it a little bit. I don't want this to be an hour and a half show, honestly. But we'll lay it to rest and we'll move on, close the door, throw the dirt on the coffin of 2024 season. But,
how are you?
Not great, Bob.
Yeah, that sums it up pretty well. So let me go ahead and do the Auburn fun meter theme. So there's this week's Auburn fun meter theme. On a scale of 0 to 10, John, how much fun are we having being Auburn fans this week?
1.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't remember what we were after we lost to Alabama, but this is a 1.
Yeah, it is. And we'll talk about why. I've got a lot of reasons, but I'm not going to jump the gun now. In fact, we're going to roll on into it here in just a second. So you wanted to know our immediate reactions at the end of the game, the end of the season for this team. How did it hit you? What was your immediate reaction? By all means, tell us. I'm curious what you think.
I was shocked. I was stunned. I was sad.
Just didn't seem possible.
I was getting texts from family members and stuff. My mom texted me the word agony.
Yeah. Yes.
So it was a tough loss. I mean, if you've listened to this podcast, you know that I had high hopes and expectations for this team.
Oh, yeah.
And I believed that we were going to win that basketball game until very late in that basketball game. Mm-hmm. And even at the end, I thought we were going to pull it out and win that basketball game. So losing was a shock to me, and it was hard. And this loss hit me. Multiple times this weekend, I kept remembering, like, and I will talk about it, but that's how it hit me. Like, and multiple times it's like I woke up whatever Sunday morning and I'm like, I don't get to see us play today.
Yes, that was hard, knowing they were playing on Sunday, that we would have been playing San Diego State at like 10 o'clock your time or something ridiculous, who cares? We would have done it. But I just noted down here that it's not just that we lost a game, because you lose games. It's sad. It happens in basketball. It's, losing in basketball is kind of halfway between baseball and football. You lose a game in baseball, nobody cares at all. You lose a game in football, it's the end of the world. So basketball is kind of halfway in between, and you hate losing. But knowing that you lose and it's all over is what's so sickening, because we knew what we believed this team was capable of, and they're never going to get a chance to prove it. You know, I thought it's almost like the 2020 team that never even got to play in the, because of the pandemic, never even got to play. This kind of feels almost like that. And like if the 2019 team, and this is the example I keep referring to, and I'm not sure I've been entirely clear about it because people haven't really taken it the way I intended, and that's on me. But what I keep saying is it's almost like a flip of a quarter. The 2019 team flipped it and it came up heads. They could have, you know, if New Mexico State had made that shot at the end, that team would have never gotten the Final Four. It would have never gotten the round of 32. That's how close it was. And this team flipped the same coin, and it came up tails. And you can say, well, you shouldn't be in a position where flipping a coin decides that. Well, I agree, but the 2019 team went to the Final Four, and they were in that position too. Yeah. It happens.
They were good enough to go to the Final Four, and they were in that position.
In round one against a crap team, yes.
It was as well, but they were in that position.
Yes. It happens in basketball. It sucks, but that's the nature of the sport, that you get in these weird games where somebody like Connect or like this dude for Yale gets hot at the wrong time for us, and it happens, and it sucks. But, you know, I mean, because I think this team, I mean, San Diego State looks pretty good. And this is the first time it dawned on me that we were lined up to play last year's two national championship game finalists back-to-back, oh,
yeah.
Possibly.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I knew we had all the conference tournament winners, which was bad enough, but we had the two teams that played for the national championship in our sub-bracket, like Team 2 and Team 3.
And the other team that played in the Final Four was in our bracket, too.
Good grief.
So three of the Final Four were on our side of the bracket.
Yeah, that's incredible. But even still, I mean, it's incredible that we can steamroll Kansas and North Carolina a couple of years ago, but almost lose to New Mexico State, and then turn around this year and lose to Yale. And then to make matters worse, Yale did not then go on an amazing Miami-like winning streak and punk everybody else too to show that it was them. They turn around and get their doors blown off by San Diego State, and the dude that couldn't miss went 0-for-5 in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
So we certainly gave San Diego State a warning that you better guard that guy better than we did. Well, though I don't know how you guard him better than we did, but whatever.
I think it also says a little bit like fluky, fluky, fluky.
Yeah.
As you said, sometimes weird stuff happens in basketball, and it bothers me a lot. But the other thing I've thought about a lot over the last day or two is just a couple people made this point, and I think it's a good one to keep in mind, is like this happens to everybody. Okay.
Yes. Oh, I have some examples coming up, but yes.
All right, we'll come back to those. So I just think that happens to everybody.
It does. I want to remind you, well, it does. It happens to everybody. It just sucks because we had a group of players that we may not have together again. That's the thing to me that's the worst, right? I think that's what a lot of people say is the worst, right? If this team was coming back again next year, you'd say, okay, we'll take another shot at it. Like, well, I'll go ahead and say it. Virginia, when they were number one and lost to number 16, the only time that happened, that Virginia team came back the next season intact and won the national championship by cheating over us. But they got another shot at it. We probably aren't going to get another shot at it this way. It's going to be a different team.
And what you just said is the thing that bothers me the most.
Yes.
Because I love this team.
Exactly.
This team was so much fun and gave me so much joy. And them not having the opportunity to play more so I could enjoy it has been taken away from me.
Right.
And it bothers me.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of how we felt in 2004 with the football team. We loved that team, and we knew we weren't getting those guys back in 05.
Yes.
And that was the chance we had, and we didn't get it, and it wasn't fair. This was because we lost. This wasn't just getting screwed over, but still. The other thing I was going to say about Yale's really good shooter guy, you will recall on this program a week ago, I said we need to trip him getting off the bus. I said on Twitter, we need to get him coming off the bus. And people are like, blah, blah, don't worry. We'll shut him down. No, he didn't. We should have tripped him getting off the bus, John. We should have gotten Tanya Harding to take a pipe to his knee when he got off the bus. And we didn't.
Nope.
So you asked the other question here. At what point during the game did you think we were going to lose? Never. 0.00 is when I thought we were going to lose.
So at the end, we were missing free throws and throwing the ball up and stuff. You thought we were going to win.
We were still only down two. Something's going to go in. It's funny how all season long we played so well, and at the end of the game, we looked like last year's team. We looked like Wendell chucking up three-pointers, remember?
Yep.
The fact that it came down to KD shooting a three is not terrible, but it's not optimal.
No, but this is the irony thing, right, that bit us in the rear end in a giant way, is that this team beat everybody by double digits. So they didn't get to experience a bunch of close wins and executing in close wins, and therefore they didn't have a bunch of experience at it. This has only happened this game in the Mississippi State game, really. Mm. And so if they'd had that five other times and executed in those situations and come through, the end of this game might have looked a little different.
Did you see the end of Texas A&M Houston?
I watched the video. I was asleep when that happened.
I watched the YouTube video of the last 5 minutes of the game, and it was that's what you do when you know how to finish out a game. For those who don't know, it was 71-59 Houston with a minute and a half to go in the game, and it went to overtime. We were up 10 twice on that team.
Yes. We were up 10 with about 5 minutes to go.
How we couldn't – I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. And I tell you, there's two players I wanted shooting that three-pointer at the end, and one of them wasn't in the arena.
Mm-hmm.
He'd gotten sent home, and he got to play, 2 minutes in the NCAA tournament? And the other one was
Denver Jones.
Denver Jones, yeah. And neither one of them
I'd have been happy with Jalen shooting it.
Yeah, although he hadn't been hitting them as well lately as he was in the middle of the season. But, yeah, well, KD's not terrible. He's just not as reliable as Chad or Denver Jones were, it seemed like, in the last couple of months. They've been the guys that have been really knocking him down the last. So that's who I would have wanted. But I still thought for sure we could at least get a rebound, put it in, go to overtime, something, you know.
Yes. I thought we were going to get the rebound and put it in.
Yeah. Especially when their big guy fouled out.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk about it a little bit more. All right, so let's get into some of the details, and then we can stop talking about some of the details. Chad Baker-Mazzara, what do you think?
You said, and you were correct, that the weakness of this team was their emotional outburst and teams targeting them for that. And I think this was 100% a setup.
Yep.
I think the Yale strategy was get whoever was, Chad was guarding Chad, and that Chad was guarding to, needle him, cheap shot him, do whatever you got to do every time up and down the court and get him to lose his cool. Because let's be clear, those officials watched the SEC tournament, and they were watching Chad every second, waiting for something to happen so they could go after him.
Yes.
And they didn't see the play before, and they only saw the play where Chad elbowed the guy. And it should have been a foul on Chad. It should have been a flagrant one. It should not have been a flagrant two, I think. And I think it was a setup, but I think it had a giant impact on the game, too. I think it shocked the Auburn team. We were playing great at that point, playing loose and free. And I think Chad's, personality helps the team play that way. He's a very loosey-goosey, fun person, and he has fun playing basketball. And I think he helps loosen the rest of the team up when they get tight, and that he was gone. And I think also the other one, I think an impact of the game on defense, because he's a guy that would have been put on that guy. It caused him more problems. So I think it had a big impact on the game.
Arguably our second best player the last month.
Yeah, I mean, he was third on the team in minutes and points per game over the course of the whole season.
Well, he was the other player that got
All SEC tournament besides Broome. So, how did you feel about it? How did you see it?
Yeah, no. Actually, I had something that I was thinking that slipped my mind there. But no, I think you're right. I think that they set it up. It changed the game. Oh, I know. What it reminded me more than anything was the 2010 Camback Iron Bowl, where Nick Fairley sacked the Alabama quarterback and then stood up and yelled, did something every defensive player does that on every play. And what did they do? They threw a personal foul flag because they were watching him. Mm-hmm. Because they had the, They had decided before the game even started that anything he did, they were going to, boom, immediately drop the hammer, and they did. And that's what it reminded me of. Like you said, they were watching Baker Mazzara from the jump, and it's the exact same thing. They're going to get him. They're going to be overly harsh on him because they will make an example out of him based on previous experience.
Mm-hmm.
People were saying we missed free throws, but we actually shot free throws better than Yale did, marginally. That's going to happen in basketball. People, this is what kills me. People always say, we would have won if whatever game if we'd made free throws. Nobody in basketball shoots free throws perfectly, except Larry Bird. It just doesn't happen. So when you say, well, gosh, if we'd hit 100% of our free throws, well, yeah, but who does that? It's just not going to happen. You've got to there's other ways you have to compensate for that because both teams are going to miss a bunch of free throws. Far worse to me is letting the other team shoot a bunch more free throws than we are. And that's one of the things we've kind of been bad about all year.
It's true. I mean, I do think the having two good free throw shooters shooting at the end, and Broome had a series too where they missed the front end of one and ones, and Broome missed two. In the second half, we were 7 for 13 from the free throw line in a game we lost by 2 points.
Yeah.
So.
But I'm just saying Yale was worse than that.
No, yeah. But again, we shot for the game, we shot 22 free throws and Yale shot 31.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that's worse to me.
This is the thing I thought about a lot, though, is those were clearly obviously not SEC officials. But I think the SEC officials have gotten, because there's a certain style of play in the SEC this year, especially in the SEC tournament, where they're really good athletes or really good players, but they're kind of letting them play. I mean, especially that Auburn-Mississippi State game, you could have run out there and hit somebody with a board, and they'd have been like, well, you know,
play on, fair play.
Basketball play. So, here's the difference, right? Now we're playing a non-conference team. Smaller, less athletic players, less explosive players, officiated by non-SEC officials who were calling a much tighter game. So the things Auburn had a giant adjustment factor where we had gone from these games where we could be all over these guys who were great athletes and very physical to going against guys who we couldn't play that way against. And so the play defense without fouling thing was a real problem for us in this game.
Basketball, more than any other sport, I think, is so different depending on how the referee's attitude is. You know what I mean? The referees have a tremendous influence over the game. It's a different sport almost depending on what referee you get. I'm just imagining Sonny, and now KD's got the folding chair. Oh, he took the guy out. Oh, no. He broke the folding chair over him.
You and the listeners will appreciate this. They announced tonight the officials that they after each round, they evaluate all the officials and they decide which official teams are going to move on and officiate in the next round. And none of the officials in the Auburn-Yale game will be participating in the rest of the NCAA tournament.
Wow. Well, I think that says a lot, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's well, also, the SEC didn't fare well overall, which may have a lot to do with that. I mean, you know, the several lost Auburn, Kentucky, Florida.
South Carolina
all lost immediately. Texas A&M lost to Houston. Of course, they did draw the number one team and took them to overtime, so good on you, Texas A&M. But still, I mean, Alabama's still going, Tennessee's still going.
Oh, Alabama's played out. Charleston and Grand Canyon.
Who's left besides Alabama and Tennessee? Is that it?
That's it.
Yeah. So, yeah, Alabama had a good bracket, and by not playing defense, actually worked for them. This was how Alabama not playing defense actually worked. They didn't get called for a bunch of fouls because they don't play defense. Yeah.
Their scheme to not play defense worked because Grand Canyon decided to not play offense.
That's the other side of the coin, yeah, not playing off. And anything else about that game before we just kind of look back at the season real quick?
We've done this with football sometimes. I wanted to do the apportionment of blame.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you 7 things, and you're going to tell me which ones you think were most important. Okay?
All right.
Looking ahead to UConn or whoever, not respecting our first-round opponent.
That's
the –
That's legit.
The ejection
I'm gonna go 1-1.
Chad Baker Mazzara.
Hold on. Let's go one at a time.
Okay.
Looking ahead, not respecting the opponent, that is legit. That's, I mean, I don't think it was the biggest factor, but I think in hindsight, they should have taken that game more seriously.
The fans certainly looked ahead. There was a lot of UConn and bracket. Our bracket's so tough.
We need a lot less
of that, a lot more of Yale.
Yes, you're right.
The ejection?
I think you have convinced me it was even bigger than I thought it was.
Okay.
I thought you made a good argument about that just now.
All right, officiating.
Those are the two things that you've really just now in the last 10 minutes or so laid out for me that I'm like, yeah, it's worse than I even realized.
All right, play by Auburn's 2 point guards.
It wasn't great, but I mean, they weren't abominable. They didn't. I mean, Trey Donaldson picked a heck of a time to suddenly not score. He's been a very reliable scorer. But he kind of came up dry a couple of big moments there when we needed him. And, of course, Aiden didn't do much except bring the ball up, pass it.
But again, in the middle of the game when we were ahead, Aiden took 5 shots and went 0-for-5.
That's what he does.
And I thought that was a time in the game when we really needed to be trying to pull away from
him. Yes.
And coming up empty again and again on those series, I think, was really brutal for this team. And so I've defended Aiden, and I love Aiden, but that was a really rough series. And I could tell you his minutes were severely limited after that. He played the fewest minutes of anybody, basically.
Oh, you could tell. Could tell. We've got the number one point guard in the country coming in next year. My question, let me ask you this right now while we're talking about the basketball team. We're not going to have 3 point guards on the team next year. Who's leaving?
I have no idea.
I mean,
but one of them plays shooting guard. But I think either Aiden or Trey is going to leave.
Given the way the season played out, and especially the last couple of games, I could see Aiden leaving, and I could see myself not being that upset about it.
Until he goes to some other school and turns into the player we thought he was going to be.
Oh, that happens all the time, though, for sure. But
So Aiden didn't have a great game. Again, I just listed all that stuff. And then Trey went 2-for-7, scored 5 points, exactly. Went 0-for-2 at the free throw line.
Ugh, God.
And he had a turnover, and Aiden had a turnover. This is the other thing that I think I put on the apportionment of blame list, turnovers.
Yeah.
You know, again, we talked about this with the Alabama game and other games. When Auburn has a lot of turnovers, it's bad.
Well, and there's a particular kind of turnover that we do that drives me nuts, which is where we 2 or 3 times every game we throw the ball away. We try some long pass down the court or across the court, and it just sails right out of bounds. It's like you've just played this awesome defense, you've gotten the ball away, and you just hand it right back. It's, mm-hmm. You know, if you would just protect the ball, value the ball, you know, I understand you're trying to do a breakaway, fast break thing, but you can dribble it down there and still go fast. You don't have to chuck it the whole length of the court every time. That just drives me nuts when they do that. Because it almost always sails out of bounds. If they proved it worked, that's okay, but they never do.
All right. Defense overall, and particularly on the shooter guy.
They've played such good defense all year, but they've allowed players here and there to kind of get loose on them.
Well, but I think, I mean, to me, the defense, after watching the SEC tournament, I thought the defense wasn't as good. And some of that, maybe it's absence of Chad, some of that's Yale. But I thought some of it's probably the officiating and the team being a little hesitant, but mm-hmm. I thought our defensive intensity was not as good as it was against, you know.
Well, they've got an internal dial, and they can turn it to where they need to turn it. And there have been games where they started at about a 7, and they turned it up to 10 when they had to. There was one game, the game where Chad did the Spanish outburst at halftime, and then there was Mississippi State game at halftime when Chris Moore went off on them, and both times they cranked that knob up coming into the second half. I felt like they turned the knob down a little bit in this game.
That's fair. And the other one is I just feel like not getting the ball to Broom enough.
Stretches of that. Yes.
He is the All-American. He's the stud. That guy couldn't stop him. Broom had like 9 points in the first 2 minutes of the game, and then we'd go with eons without getting him the ball again in the post.
And I mean, we fouled their guy out. We should have fouled him out in the first half almost. Yes. We should have put them in a position where they could not defend Janai without fouling out. We put him in that position and we let him off the hook until the very end of the game.
I think we did a poor job getting the ball into Broom. I think we tried sometimes and then we didn't set it up well. So I was bothered about that.
Yeah. So there was a lot of things basically that went wrong. This was a bridge too far of basketball, really. Everything that could go wrong and mess up the mission did go wrong and mess up the mission.
Yes.
And that's what it took to lose by two.
To lose by two.
Yeah.
Which is, you know.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. So, again, I think we've listed everything that's a factor.
Yeah.
How would you weigh those?
We've ripped the Band-Aid off and poked the wound now. No, I guess probably I think the looking ahead, the Chad Baker Mazzara situation, the officiating all are big, and then the defensive point guard play, the turnovers were a little bit less important, I think those three could have been overcome more easily. The first three were harder to overcome. That's how I would rate them, right? There's the hard to overcome versus not as hard to overcome. If the only problems we had suffered was the point guard play, the defense not being as intense, and not getting the ball to Broom enough, I think we should have won by like 10 instead of 25.
Yes.
But you throw those other things in and we lose.
That's right.
And the turnovers, that was part of the – yeah, so. Yeah. Well, so this team, how does it go down in Auburn history? I mean, it seems like every year we say, oh, this is the best team ever, and then something happens and we decide, well.
I don't know if this was the best team we've ever had. They didn't win the regular season and stuff. But this is absolutely going to be one of my favorite teams ever.
Yes.
I loved watching this team play basketball.
Well, it was a combination of the players, the personalities. We loved them. And it felt like we kind of got rid of some drag personality-wise on the team and brought in some more upside. And then the way they played was really fun.
Yes, the style, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They played incredibly hard. They played unselfishly.
Yeah, that's going to be so hard to replicate. Right?
They had fun.
They did. Yeah, it's going to be so hard to build that formula again. And we know, right? I mean, no two teams are the same. You know, no two teams have the same personality, the same formula, the same makeup. You know, the 2022 team was all about Jabari shooting it from all over the place and Walker Kessler getting in there and blocking shots and dunking and stuff. And that's a very, very different thing from Bryce Brown and Jared Harper shooting it from half court, which is a very different thing from this team squeezing the life out of you and then having lots of people get 6 or 8 points each, you know. So I don't, you know, the 2024-25 team is just going to be a completely different beast all over again.
It will be dramatically different. Roster-wise, yes.
The funny thing is almost everybody on this team except – I mean, we're going to lose Jalen, we're going to lose Broom, and we're going to lose at least one other one. I can't think who. But other than that –
our walk-on that got injured.
Yeah. Other than them, though, this team – and, I mean, Janai could come back, but he's not. I mean, this team could be very similar and yet very different.
Yeah, a lot of those other guys, you know, Dylan – Chris Moore, KD, all those guys could come back. They have a COVID optional extra year, but we also sat there and watched them go through senior day too.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Well, but Jalen did that last year and he came back. So
he did.
It's possible.
I mean, some of those, but I don't think all of those guys will be back.
No. And I don't know that Bruce wants all of them back, honestly. I think he's going to be ready to shake things up a little bit and try a new formula. So,
but I think we're going to have, you know, Chaney Johnson, Denver Jones, one or both of the point guards, and the new point guard and the new, you know, forward we signed, plus some transfers. So,
what about Chad Baker Mazzara?
I mean, I think he went through senior day as well.
Because
I think he's
I keep forgetting that he's played so many different places and everything.
And he has a year of eligibility if he wants to play again.
It just sucks that his dad flew all the way to Spokane, Washington to see him play for 2 minutes.
So that's where, like, I hope his story isn't over. Like, I hope he comes back and plays for Auburn and has a happier ending. Because he could – I mean, in a different style team where he starts a small forward all year and he's a focal point of the offense, he could be a 20-point-per-game guy.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And to think he wasn't even starting until late in the season.
That's right.
Though Bruce did say in retrospect he should have been starting him. Who was he starting? Chris Moore for a while?
Yeah. Yeah. Because he wanted – you know, Chris Moore steady and good on defense, and then he wanted Chad to be kind of the offensive spark coming off the bench.
Just like KD.
Yeah.
Man, this team was deep. That's the thing I'm going to remember about them the most, was that they were so deep. They had two completely different – I mean, think about it. Our first five were better than anything we've had for many years at Auburn, and our second five was at least as good as anything we had at Auburn for a long time. That KD, Dillon Trey Donaldson team, that team could have beaten most of our starting teams before like 2019. Yeah,
amen.
Those teams would have killed to have Dillon as their starting center, most of them. All right. Well, I had a note. This is what I was talking about earlier. I mentioned, you know, just the NCAA tournament is just weird. Virginia was a number one seed and they lost to a 16. It happens. The next, you think we feel bad? They were a number one seed and lost to 16 for the first time in history. And then the next year they turned around and won the championship by cheating. Charles Barkley. I love how these reporters were asking Charles what it's like to play in the NCAA tournament, because I'm sitting here thinking, well, he played in one game, so I guess he could say, but Charles Barkley played in as many NCAA tournament games as Chad Baker Mazzara did for Auburn, basically. Lost to Richmond, but it wasn't in the round of 64 because there were only 32 teams in that tournament. And we talked about the 2019 team was lucky to even make it past the first round. And then the other thing I noted was Auburn has a history in the NCAA tournament of losing to the eventual champion or eventual runner-up. North Carolina, Louisville, Oklahoma, Indiana. There was another one recently. So we lost to Miami. Who did we lose to? We lost
Houston.
To somebody. Yeah, that was a good one. There's been several. There was one more. Oh, Syracuse with Marquise Daniels. So we have a huge history of being knocked out by the eventual champion. And then there's this year. Yale just turned right around and fell on their face. And that just bugs me. They should at least get to the national title game.
I want to build on your point because I think it is absolutely true and I keep thinking about it. I'm going to read you the names of some teams that have been upset in the first round. So if you think, Auburn just, it's so embarrassing, I can't believe it. Again, Virginia and Purdue lost as number one seeds. Arizona, Kentucky, Duke, Georgetown, Michigan State, North Carolina, Kentucky again this year. Arizona lost last year to the Ivy League champion as a two seed. Princeton beat Arizona last year's tournament as the Ivy League champion as a two seed.
There you go. It happens. Basketball.
Baylor, Virginia, Duke have all won national titles recently and all lost in the first round.
Yep. Yeah, that's a really good point. And you know what else?
UConn,
It just shows you've got to get up there and stay up there and be in position for when things line up like they did in 2019 and like they hopefully will again before it's all over with. You just have to be you have to be around. You have to hang around the top, and some years you're going to crap out and fall down, and some years you're going to slip through the cracks. It's the same way as winning the Indianapolis 500. You know, if you crash on Elio Castroneves may crash on the first lap with the fastest car on the field, and then the next year with a slower car, he might just get a fuel thing and, win. So
here's your perfect example. 2022, UConn loses to New Mexico State in the first round as a five seed. They got the big upset. 2023, UConn wins the title. This year, UConn the favorite.
Yes.
That happened to them, too.
That's the tournament. That's basketball. The trick is to have a team like this year's team almost every year. And again, what really sucked was not so much, we don't win it this year, even though we thought we might. It was losing this particular team, I think, is what hurt more. You've got to be there. I mean, because think about this, John. For all that Auburn fans want to complain, we didn't win a national championship, how many times in the last 20 years has UCLA won the national championship? How many times has Kansas failed to win it? How many times has North Carolina failed to win it? How many times has Purdue failed to win it? How many times has Virginia failed to win it? You know what I mean? It's this happens no matter how good you are.
Yes.
If that wasn't the case, North Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky, UCLA would win it every other year.
And this is the other thing I think people always forget this. Only one team ends the season with a win.
Yes.
Unless you count the NIT winner.
Yeah, well, we had to count them. Is that going to be Ole Miss or somebody? No, they're not even in the NIT, are they? They turned it down. They're like Notre Dame turning down
Georgia
a bowl
in it? I think Georgia's playing in it.
So. No, whatever. Who cares? If Georgia's season is still going and ours is over, I don't even want to know about it.
Fair.
I don't even want to know. All right, let's switch gears now. I feel like we need to.
We're not going to talk about football. I'm just going to say A-Day is Saturday, April 6th. Mm-hmm. Apparently, may or may not be on TV when it happens. But we got plenty of time over the next few weeks to talk about football. So
we are. It's coming. We are. Yeah, and I'll be in Chicago anyway for A-Day, so I'll try to get it on my phone if it's even available. So we got to check in on our brackets, though. We had 102 entries in our NCAA tournament brackets. That's incredible. It shows how excited everybody was about basketball this year, I guess, too.
And it's tough to be ahead of those many teams, and I wouldn't know anything about that.
or Boris, honestly.
I was going to say, the only thing I would say about some of these teams is a lot of our fans took Auburn as a champ. So I think teams that pick other teams as a champ are going to be in good shape here. Yeah. The current leaders include Howard Franz and Michael Nobles, Eric Morgan, Russell Milling, Auburn football's Elvis, and Auburn Elvis, whose bracket is called Bracket Breaker Mazzara,
which really I appreciate. Good. Yeah, that's good.
Dan Thompson, Charles Mooney, Preston Settle, Rich Hammett. So, you know, they're all at the top. Boris and I are bringing up the rear, but it's okay. And Van, you know, tied for 19th, but, you know.
I don't know how.
Still,
I've been terrible.
Still has some room to move up, where I think Boris and I are in the death spiral.
Poor Boris has been moping about inconsolably the last couple of days. I feel bad for him, honestly. He just cares so much, and he just can't quite. He was asking us yesterday what time Auburn's first game is in the tournament, and I think he's just kind of in denial. I'm trying to open up the Patreon and the Formula One. I haven't looked at the Formula One League. Let me go ahead and do that while I'm thinking about it. Let's see. The AU Wishbone Fantasy Formula One League. Yeah, I knew when Max went out with a exploding brake that caught fire. I said, well, there went my chances of staying in first place this week. So Eric Morgan, AU98 Racing, has moved up into first. Non-offensive name by Lane Middleton is in second. My crappy team, Alpha Plexi, has moved up to third. They must have had, I have to check, they must have Ferrari. Albie Mobile, Joshua Corbett's in fourth. Tiger Transit, Joshua Corbett's in fifth. Eric Morgan's Mississippi Racing is sixth. My other team, Toro Plexico, is in seventh, all the way down to seventh. Alexandra's Ringers has dropped down to eighth. Alan Porter's Megrin Racing is ninth. And Lane Middleton's Qualified Disasters, tenth. And let me see. Yeah, I burned my 3 times extra points token on Max this week, and wow, did I ever pick the wrong week to set that on fire. That's going to cost me the championship right there. I got 5 points from Pierre Gasly, 4 from Alexander Albon, 5 from the Williams team, 8 from Daniel Ricciardo. If it wasn't for Ferrari, I would have just absolutely I have Ferrari as a team there. So, but the other one, I will tell you real quick. Get this. I even have Logan Sargeant on the other team, and he didn't even start the race because his teammate crashed.
They took his car away.
They took his car away from him. He didn't know anything wrong. And in fact,
big zero.
Max not only cost me negative points, he cost me, instead of negative 10, he cost me negative 30 because I used my 3 times on him. Oh, God. That's terrible. All right. So yeah, that my you usually get about 200 points from a team. I got 40 from my best team this week. So just go ahead and close that out. All right. So there's your the bracket update, your Fantasy Formula One update. I got one other update. My two big novels, my giant 800-page military science fiction novel and my sort of sci-fi time travel Roman Empire. It's an alien invasion novel called Union. Alpha, Omega, and Union are the two novels. They're going to be out starting basically to, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, March 26th, the Kickstarter is up now. If you supported us on First Time Ever in Auburn Basketball on Kickstarter, it's the same type of deal. Just follow the link. I'll put the link in the show notes. I'll put a link on the page. Follow the link there, and we have a month to hit a certain goal. And if it happens, the books get published. They go out. They'll be signed by me. My two latest, my 21st and 22nd novels, I'm really, really excited about them. I'll put the links in so you can check them out, watch the little video I did about them, and all that. I appreciate your support. Let's go ahead and thank the patrons. Keep this ball rolling. Remember, we don't do ads on this here program. We depend entirely on our listeners for support, and we appreciate you guys tremendously. Here now are the fine folks. And as always, remind you, what we figured out a couple of years ago is you can put any name you want as your name on Patreon, and that's the name that I read, and your name can include like audio cues that you want from the soundboard. So without further ado, we have to thank Samuel Salvatore, who always reminds us that
tonight's forecast, a freeze is coming
with pearl white snow. We also have to thank Carl Von Drunker, Chris and Clinton Stewart, Dr. Crackham, Logan Chilton. When I heard Rule Britannia was gone, I said John, you know, when I was watching the end of the Yale game, I was saying,
no! No! No, I'm devastated! I'm devastated! They're celebrating right in front of me! This is the worst!
It is.
This is the worst!
It was the worst.
No!
In fact, no.
How did you get that recording from my house?
I know. That's exactly. I know it. Oh, it kills me. Oh, and Pridgen, Bill Weathers, Bradley Blackman, David WDE Sammons Esquire, Earl Ricks, Eric Morgan, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU Fan at KSC, and 2024 AU Wishbone NCAA Bracket Challenge 78th Biggest Loser. Oh, okay, so that's where he is now. And there's no shame, man. We're all not doing well except for a couple of people. Harry Zagger, if Carol Shelby would have seen me on Friday, he would have said,
I don't speak Italian, but he ain't happy.
Amen to that. Mm-hmm. Amen, man. Matt Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor again reminds us.
No!
That's exactly it. Richard Stevens, starting July 12th, when Carol has a message for all the gamers on NCAA Football 24.
I am the only daddy you got. I am the damn paterfamilias.
That's what that stupid shooter was saying to us after the Yale game. Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden, Alex Brown, Auburn Football's Elvis, Ben Bloodworth, Bleeds Orange and Blue, Bob WD Sammons Esquire, a.k.a. 76 Tiger Sleazy Shyster 4!
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage!
Chad McDowell, Chris Hilton, Chris Thrash, Daniel Odom, Bobby, Hello Darkness, My Old Friend, amen to that one. H-Town Danny, In-Home Hugh, Jacob and Robin Fleming, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Lane Middleton, Mickey B.
I'm afraid that my condition has left me cold to your pleas of mercy.
Not for while you can, monkey boy.
Oh, wrong one. Oh, well, he gets a little bonus tonight. Fight Select Gaston, Algo, Rhythm and Blues, Paul Miles, Rhodesian Mudflap. I needed about 6 Rhodesian Mudflaps after that game, John.
I may have had 6 Rhodesian Mudflaps.
I may have, yeah.
I'm just saying.
God, they got to get that into the local bar. Rich Reimer, Rusty Owens, Steve Harlan. I know he gave us the full story, but I still think of it as a mixed drink. Theodore Geary, Van Allen Plexico for president. I will not take that. I will. I do not seek and I will not accept my party's nomination for a term as your president. Wade Ward, WDE Richie, this one hurt. Amen, Rich. Wes Atkinson, why is Peter Pan always flying? Because he never lands. Sorry, but that joke never grows old. It got two because there was two punchlines. William Morgan, Winston Body, this is the year Peyton Thorne has improved so much. I got this new offense. He's focused. He's having fun. I wouldn't be surprised if, and it goes off there, but I think it's a dark horse for the Heisman. It's funny because Bo Nix did end up being a dark horse for the Heisman, not even a dark horse, a favorite. So they were right. And it did seem like he was having fun. Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, what? Brandon Smith, Kato the Barner says, sorry everyone, but Fire Mickey Dean season's back upon us. Charles Mooney, Corey Smyer, David D, David Simpson, I can't wait for the tournament to start. Well, that sounds like Boris. I have fun meter whiplash, and Jared didn't even get to finish a season of Airwolf. This is both true.
Very true. The fun meter whiplash has been pretty severe the last 2 months.
I think the last two episodes of our show, we've had it the highest and the lowest it's been since we started it.
I think you're right.
It was like a 9 and then a 1. And that's what hurts so much, right? Josh Teal, Kevin Mahan, Luther and Kelly Ottaway, Mandy Thompson, Melissa Blackstone, Papa Todd. We had Father to Fall is what I'm saying. Patrick Williams. Patrick Williams reminds us, of course, that
whether you like it or not, learn to love it because it's the best thing going today.
Woo! Philip Martin, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Walt Austin, Weagle, Woody the Jag, at the Mad Reaper Pepper Company on Instagram, a few more patrons left, Alex Wynn, AU Falling Up, Barles Charkley, Ben Amos, Ben Riggis, Chris Como, Chris Braun, Clay Henson, Construction Tiger, Daniel Barnett, Daniel Witten, Darren Pyle, David Smiley, Doug Godfrey, Elizabeth Donald, former sixth grade free throw shooting champion. Well, we could have used you out there. We
got to get better at celebrating.
I am Tiger, evil HR director of
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
They have to have an HR director because they have so many employees that are patrons of our show. I'll Buy This for a Dollar, James Taylor, Jim McCrory, John Otsuki, John Stubbs, Joey Miller, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rains remind us that
you have failed me for the last time.
Barbecue, a.k.a. Auburn Dad for Life, Mark Squire, MVP, Captivating Kathy Bright.
Your love of the halfling's leaf has clearly slowed your mind.
New York Tigers starting to think SEC basketball might be overrated. Paul Bankson, Rich Hammett, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth, and Darren Sutherland. Spinky, I am at the bottom of this list because...
God bless it!
Back for while you can, monkey boy.
Sports Illustrated's Auburn Elvis. It's going to be funny now that I'm showing Kingdom of Heaven in my religion class again, and we're going to get to that scene, and I'm going to wonder why they don't say laugh while you can, monkey boys. Because I've heard it so many times now. God wills it! God wills it! I'm going to have to bang back in the background going... Laugh while you can, monkey boys. They're going to look at me like, what's he talking about?
I know none of your students have seen that movie.
No, they haven't seen anything. My students haven't ever seen any movie. They haven't seen anything. They just, they never have. It's so weird. They don't watch movies. Sports Illustrated's Auburn Elvis, Stephen Thompson, Steve Bailey, the Slinko family, Tim Sauls, Trevor Johnson, Brent Rumble, and our one-time and anonymous donors. I think, man, I'm like that. Thank you all. Go to www.auwishbone.com. No, these kids today, man, they got their TikToks on their phones, and they ain't watching movies. They're just watching like little 5-second clips round and round over and over forever. That's all they're doing. I don't get it, but that's what they're doing.
Van and I try very hard to not be Statler and Waldorf on the show, but sometimes it just comes through.
We're down with the youths, John. We're with the youths.
Yeah. I was ranting about light bulb selection.
I know, that's so good. My wife was like, yes, he's right. No, you and I are like, we show up and we're like, greetings, fellow youths.
Get the skateboard.
Yes. All right. No worse coaches. I think we just got to go straight.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
All right. Let's
I would accept
get this.
Nominations for Calipari as worst coach in the world.
Oh, you know what? You know what? Coming up, we'll actually do listener questions. But first, I have to say, John Calipari, with your lifetime contract, losing in the first round again, you are the worst coach in the world. All right. That was easy. Now, what we got in the mailbag?
That was great. All right, first question from Samuel Salvatore, friend of the program. It says, hello, guys at War Eagle.
War Eagle, Sam.
At least we are SEC tournament champions. I'm going to do what you said and bask in the glory of being SEC tournament champion. Congrats to Yale. They outplayed us and deserve to win regardless, War Eagle.
Yeah, I mean, sure. That's a very positive way to look at it, I think. Very constructive way. It certainly beats sitting around moping, feeling like crap after we just won the SEC tournament.
All right. Our next email is from Josh Corbett, and he says, Boris, Van, and John.
What?
I sent a video on Twitter on the state of the Auburn programs. Below are how I feel about each program and my thoughts and expectations. And after I finish Josh's email, Van's going to respond. So first he says, football, money people are all in on this, and it's year two of freeze. Expectations for football should eventually be making college football playoff and building towards being a top 10 to 15 program in the nation. Yes. Auburn historically is the roller coaster with ups and downs. I think it's time for expectations to evolve as the games evolve. He says, basketball is much like football. It has peaks and valleys. The sport hasn't changed as much as football, and Bruce is on year 10, and losing in the round of 32 and 64 shouldn't be accepted anymore. Just making the tournament is not enough, especially if moving to 72 teams is coming. He says, baseball has made strides in the College World Series. It's time to solidify our position as a powerhouse and stop accepting mediocrity. Softball, we have seen this program die on the vine. This is the only sport I feel the coach needs to go. When a star player's mom speaks out and says the coach has failed these players and the energy is gone, it's time to take notice. We had a proud softball program making the College World Series and close to winning it all. We've now run off the best two hitters, and our star pitcher's not happy with the state of the program. Changes need to be made from the top down in softball.
Amen.
All of these sports are examples of how the big stage seems too large for Auburn. We have a very passionate and engaged fan base in all sports. The way these programs have performed in the postseason disappoints fans. We get the postseason and make mental mistakes we haven't seen or fell short of and not live up to expectations. I know y'all have said enjoy the wins more than the losses, but the postseason losses hit harder. Yeah. Winning games in the regular season is good, but Auburn should be striving to win national championships in major sports. These are just my thoughts, and I hope Cohen and company can learn that Auburn fans will support them till death, but it would be nice to see some hardware come back to Auburn. War Eagle always. Thank you, Josh Corbett.
Okay, so I'll react to what Josh said and to what he sent us, Jake Crane, said. Yeah. I hadn't read what Josh said. You reading it just now was the first I've seen it. I agree in principle. In fact, both of them in principle are saying pretty much the same thing, which is it's no longer acceptable. We should no longer. You know, it's funny. Let me back up. I'm not going to go on forever on this, but I just have a couple of things. It's like Auburn's mindset underwent a revolution in the 80s with Pat Dye. Before that, we, to some degree, accepted losing, knowing that we were always going to lose to certain teams in certain sports, and that was just how God intended it to be. After Pat Dye, we said we are capable of rising up and challenging. We don't have to accept being permanent underclass. We can compete. We can win. And I think now, after a whole other generation coming through, we're at the point where people are saying, not unreasonably, saying our expectations should now go up another level. You know, now it should be from we're capable of winning to we expect to win, right? We just keep raising that level almost generationally, one step higher, one step higher. So we've gone from being Mississippi State, Ole Miss before last year, you know, Wake Forest or whatever, to now being, I don't know off the top of my head, but a better, you know what I mean, a higher step. And now we want to be Georgia, Alabama, Oklahoma, you know, last few years, whatever. We want to, and that's fine. I appreciate the concept. I appreciate the diagnosis. I think that that's the direction we should orient ourselves. But, and I think that, that's as much as I'm going to say about his that you just read. Because that's pretty much what he said is, what should we aspire to? What should be our goal? And that's fine. The issue I had with Jake Crane's rant was, again, in theory, aspirationally, I agree, right? He says we shouldn't lose, we should win. But his operational thing was not, here's what Auburn should do, A, B, C, for that to happen. His operational thing is, people that don't agree with me are wrong and should shut up and go away. And I'm like, to me, this sounds like you don't like Auburn fans, coaches, and players whining and crying, and so you're going to whine and cry about it. I don't know how shutting them up is going to change the operational outcome of improving the program. You know, if you say, I think that we should win more games, okay, so how do you want Auburn to win more games? By not having people be upset, or by not having people accept that
we shouldn't accept it. What, you're going to fire Pearl and the baseball coach? Okay.
Right.
Good luck.
Yeah, exactly. And what is your action item here? Because it's your action item is that you're whining and crying like other people.
And it was because which of their programs is actually good versus which program has had three losing seasons in a row? The football program.
Right. I mean,
part of his point was, well, we've got everything in alignment now, and so now they should succeed. And what I would say is, yeah, for the 20 years before that, we weren't in alignment. And so everything Pearl and Gus did and other people to win games was a freaking miracle during that time period. So
that's a good point.
I just think, like, we are in contention to win titles in basketball, mm-hmm. SEC titles,
we just did.
Titles. I think we're there. The baseball team was bad. They had built up, they're building facilities. They're going to get to a place where they can recruit even better and compete more. I think they've obviously, you know, done the right things in that program. And so to me, like, I think the whole argument, the action thing is the crux of it. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. You're going to make changes in those programs where we've been successful and not in the programs where we've been bad?
Or you don't want Auburn fans to accept losing to Yale. Okay, so what do we do? We deny reality and say, oh, we didn't, and we go in and demand the NCAA let us play San Diego State? I mean,
about losing to Yale. I just think, like, fact that Auburn fans are fussing about it means they did have higher expectations.
Yeah, they cared.
The whole thing is
misguided.
Yes, understated. Misguided. All right, next email is from Bill Miner, who says, hey, guys, as bummed as we are, it's sadly just the nature of the tournament and the sport. All things considered, where would you rank this team in the annals of Auburn basketball history?
Yes.
Not many have won conference tournaments, but technically only one other lost in the first round of the 64 tournament. I'd be curious to see how they would have matched up against some of the better teams from the 80s, the best LS teams, the other Pearl, mm-hmm. better Pearl teams. We know they would throttle all the Lebo and Barbie teams.
Yeah. Well, let's be clear. This is the only Auburn team that's lost in round of 64. This is the second team to lose in the opening round, but Barkley's team that lost to Richmond didn't play in a round of 64. They played in a round of 32. I'm going to tell you, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but here are the best teams that I've seen and you've seen that were in our book, okay, in chronological order. The 1986 team that went to the Elite Eight and lost to Louisville barely. That team is on the list. The 1999 or 2000 team, whichever one it was, with that went to the Sweet 16 and won the SEC with what's his name? Chris Porter, yeah, and Fishback and all them. That team's on there. The 2019 team, the 2022 team, and this team. I think those, I may be forgetting someone, but those to me are the five that jump out. There have been others that at different times in the season played really well. Marquise Daniels' team was never great, but in the NCAA tournament, they caught fire, and they almost upset the eventual national champion, Syracuse.
And I think, let me ask you about this in terms of a comparison. We didn't talk about this earlier, but forever, as we grew up, Auburn fans had a soft spot for that Chuck Person team that won the SEC tournament.
85.
And the 85 team, and how they felt about that team. And I wonder if teams, if fans will think of this team the way we thought of that team.
Well, part of it was that was the only bright, that was the only thing anybody won during that whole era. Right? I mean, we got to the NCAA tournament, we got to the Elite Eight, but we didn't win anything other than some good games. That was the only hardware Auburn won in basketball, the only trophy Auburn won in basketball that whole stretch.
Yes.
Whereas this team has a whole lot of has a bunch of teams right behind it, and hopefully some teams in front of it. So I don't think this is going to stand out. I think this is going to stand out about like the 2018 team that won the conference and didn't win anything else. They won the tournament and didn't win anything else. And that's harsh, but I mean, that's just how it, and I think a lot of it depends on what the 2024-25 team does, right? If they're a big drop-off, we'll look back longingly at this team. But if they go and win a couple of games NCAA tournament, maybe win the SEC regular season or something, this team is not going to be remembered as well as we would have liked. And that's unfortunate and sad, but that's sports.
I think there's the how good are they, and there's the how much did I enjoy them.
Yes. Okay? That's true.
To me, this team sparked an immense amount of joy.
Yes.
More than even the 99 team or even the...
Oh, yeah. The 99 team, for all that it accomplished, there wasn't a huge amount of personality, at least it came through. Now, no social media and no super close-ups and stuff like you get now. I mean, the TV coverage was different. It was more sporadic. That team was at a disadvantage in that way, but we just never really got much of a personality out of that team compared to what we have now, you know. I mean, you know, like my wife follows Dylan Cardwell on Instagram or whatever just because he's so entertaining, and you couldn't have done that with the 99 team. Yeah. So, just a different world.
All right. Any other thoughts about Bill's question, or keep going?
No, let's go.
All right. Last Fluster questions from a friend of the program, Jared.
Oh, I've heard of
him. He says... For tonight, apologies for no guest the game this week. I'm just getting back from a convention and run out of time.
Oh, that's right.
Please tell the listeners that I think I've caught up on all the send-ins, so please feel free to send me in some new ones. Or if I've missed anyone, please send a reminder at Yard Sale Artist on X, Facebook, and Instagram, or email jared@theyardsaleartist.com, JARROD.
Yeah, make his sure question, you get the right way to spell it, because there's different ways to spell Jared. He's J-A-R-R-O-D.
That's it. His question is, do you think it was part of Yale's game plan to provoke our more hot-headed players, CBM or KD? I 100% believe it was a calculated plan to get CBM tossed. Interested in your thoughts.
Well, we addressed this a little while ago, but yes, I warned it was going to happen, though I didn't know it was going to be specific and exactly that soon. And then you made a great case about it a while ago that it very much did happen. So I'm on board completely with that theory, conspiracy or otherwise.
Agree. I think it was by design, and I think the officials were on high alert for it.
Yep. DEFCON Chad. Is that it for the...
That's it for listener questions.
All right. We get on board the slightly shaky, smoke-belching Aubumobile for a very quick trip around the SEC, and we'll get out of here.
Let's take a trip around the SEC.
Let's take a trip to Spokane and back in 5 seconds. All right. What we got around the SEC, John?
Just right before the NCAA tournament started, Greg Sankey, SEC commissioner, went out there and said, we should replace some of these mid-majors with more big conference schools.
Man, those Ivy League teams, get them out of there. They ain't competitive with us.
The SEC is so great. We should deserve more spots.
Oh, my gosh.
So he has been roasted and roasted and roasted and over-roasted. And again, people are still dunking on that guy, and it's Monday.
Well, who could have ever guessed that this would have happened, though, for all of them, though? You know,
but
I mean,
this goes back to we're going to have a long discussion about the playoff stuff, too. But this is exactly like that. The NCAA tournament is
about
great.
Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
You asked for it, Don. Sorry.
Great. It doesn't deserve to be tinkered with at all. It's, despite what happened to Auburn, it's a joy. It's an incredibly fun event. And as much as painful as it was, I went and watched a bunch more basketball this weekend. So
yeah, I didn't.
I get it. If I understand, there are people who are like, I'm not watching a minute more.
You know what I watched? I watched The Bodyguard on Netflix, and it was awesome, and it had nothing to do with basketball. It was so good.
I've seen it. It's fine. Yeah. But I, you know.
Thank goodness it was there when I needed it to guard me from the basketball heart. No, I'm teasing you, but you make a very good point, though, that yeah, I mean, so, and yeah, he asked for it. I mean, but who could have seen either one of these things coming? I wouldn't have seen Auburn losing to Yale, and I wouldn't have seen the SEC just wet in the bed the way they did.
Kentucky losing to Oakland. Again.
Good gosh.
They played, as somebody said, Kentucky played defense like a pickup team that just met each other. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, they basically were. The SEC didn't wet the bed. They wet the bed with kerosene and dropped a match into it and then hopped aboard and jumped up and down until they went up in flames. So. All right. I think that's enough. I'm ready to put this in the rearview mirror and get ready to talk about some spring football and A-Day coming up and all those good things.
Amen. And I just, as a closing thought, I just want to say the events of the past several days are why Van and I talk about savoring the win.
Say, okay? Yes.
Like, if you were rolling around like a pig in slop watching the SEC championship video for days, you might have had a joyous last week leading up to that game.
Yeah. I certainly
did.
But
if you were like, no, I'm saving all my joy for later.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. And I'll just say one last thing is this was a great fun team. They gave us, I can't complain, twice a week for half a year, we got to relish the fun, the excitement, the anaconda squeezing the life out of team after team. So, you know, we can be disappointed for them and for us, we're not getting to see them anymore. But we've got to just be awfully thankful for what they did give us, the joy and happiness and fun that they gave us week after week. And I really appreciate I salute this team for what they did accomplish, even as I'm disappointed for the fact that we'll never know what else they could have done. But that's just the way it goes. And again, it could have been that way in 2019 so easily. It makes me break out in a sweat all over again about 2019, how in retrospect, how that game and that season could have ended the same way, you know. It's just truly horrifying to think it.
Amen on both points.
All right. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle John.
War Eagle Van.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone podcast.